Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This potentially being your last game at Heinz Field.
You know, signs are pointing to it being the last one.
Been under center.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All I want to do is win the game. That's all that matters to me.
Final score, Pittsburgh 26, Cleveland 14.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you to all the fans and everybody.
I just don't see them hanging it up. I wouldn't bet on that yet.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King, Chargers head coach Brandon Staley. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number for you to dial here on this program. We all gave out our New Year's Eve resolutions because Bill Belichick refused to, so we did it here on this program. If you missed any of that, along with our first hour guest, Peter King, and second hour guest, Brandon Staley, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. You can also check us out every day if you're listening to us with your own iGate on NBC Sports on Peacock. Get the app. It's all kinds of awesome. We follow the Dan Patrick Show every day on Peacock. We also follow the DP Show every day on Sirius XM Channel 85. If you're listening to us on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network or on Odyssey Coast to Coast, we say hello to all of you. There's also our podcast. There's also our merchandise store, by the way. Hats and shirts and the mugs. Check us out at RichEisenShop.com. RichEisenShop.com.
We can't be stopped.
And also, there's a cool line of shirts that we have where we're going to have inspirational words across the chest with the letters RE at either the front or the back. And respect is the first one. So check that out. RichEisenShop.com. Brockman, Del Tufo, and TJ Jefferson all in their spots. Kurt Warner is going to join us. He just woke up. Guy was flying back from Cleveland.
Oh.
Yes, he's kind enough to,
gosh,
you know, I know, flying back. He's flying all over the place.
I don't know when he got home.
So I don't even know if he's home yet. He might be traveling. Well,
obviously
and
not judging Kurt, but when was the last time you got up at 11 o'clock?
Oh.
Oh, God. I don't know. I can't remember.
Like early TV days, Reading?
Here's what I'll share with you. And I share too much sometimes on this show. Best sleep I've had in the last 25 years was the 10 minutes I had a colonoscopy. Yep. I woke up on my...
Wow. Yep.
I haven't slept well in a long time.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm kids,
dude,
oh
you
my
know
God,
how it
I almost
is.
Passed
you know how it is. Kids mess with your sleep. I don't remember last time. Even in a hotel room. Even when on the road. I can't do it.
Three times last week.
I can't
11 o'clock.
Can't do it.
I could sleep.
God bless you. God bless you. Anyway, welcome to our program on all our platforms.
I mean.
Yep. Words colonoscopy, everybody. Hey, and everyone should get yours as well. Make sure that you check yourself regularly on that front. Hey, we've got playoff clinching scenarios. I've got them in my hand. We want to give you news.
I want them.
These are new. This is news you can use.
I want them.
This is it. This is week 18. By the way, if the season had ended today, because, you know, back in the day it would have, the Niners would be in. The Chargers would be in. The Colts would be in.
Right.
Right? These are the teams that could fall out of the playoffs because they haven't clinched yet. Everyone else is clinched that's in there. Hey, playoff spot. They can clinch better than what they currently have. They could clinch home field throughout. They could clinch the division, even though they're already in, like Arizona and the Rams. They're in, but we don't know who's got the home playoff game yet, do we? I've got the information right here in my hands.
You want some music?
I definitely do, Mike, because there's a lot of information. We start in the American Football Conference, and the Baltimore Ravens have a playoff clinching scenario. Yep, they're sitting there at 8-8 right now. They would have been on the outside looking in had the season ended tonight, but it has not. So the Baltimore Ravens have to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and then hope that the Jaguars win. Well, the Jaguars can make a lot of people's lives happy. And they hope that the Dolphins lose to New England. That's possible, right? So let's just say the Jaguars beat the Colts and Dolphins lose to New England as the Ravens win at home. They'll sit there on Sunday Night Football and root for the Raiders because the Chargers' loss would put the Ravens in the playoffs despite all the craziness. That's their only playoff clinching scenario. They win. Chargers, Colts, and Dolphins all lose. The Buffalo Bills have a shot to win the AFC East. It's a very simple equation. Beat the Jets and they win the AFC East. And they punch a playoff ticket for all the home folks there in Western New York. If the Patriots lose to the Dolphins, they also clinch the AFC East. If they and the Patriots all tie, they clinch the AFC East. So it looks like the Bills are going to clinch the AFC East. That was a big win in New England a couple weeks ago, huh? The Cincinnati Bengals, they've won the AFC North. The Bengals have a chance to clinch home field throughout the AFC playoffs. What is that scenario? It's a lot. They got to beat the Browns and hope the Titans, Chiefs, and Patriots lose. Or hope the Titans, Chiefs lose and the Bills win. Don't ask me why.
What?
But the Titans play the Texans. And the Chiefs play the Broncos in the first game of Week 18. That is the ESPN doubleheader opener on Saturday. So Cincinnati's got a chance to clinch home field throughout. What's the Colts playoff clinching scenario? Very simple. All they got to do is beat Jacksonville or tie them. That's it. And or if the Chargers lose and Baltimore and Pittsburgh end in a tie, I don't even give you the rest of it. But it's a possibility that the Colts lose to the Jaguars and still make it. The Chiefs, how can they clinch home field throughout? It's very simple. They win and Titans lose to the Texans. That's it. They tie and the Titans lose. They also get the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That was a huge loss in Cincinnati, man. Because the win and clinch home field throughout the AFC playoff scenario, that belongs to the Tennessee Titans, which we'll tell you in a second. The Vegas Raiders, they win, they're in. They win, they're in. And then, of course, if the Colts lose and they tie, they're in. And if the Colts and Steelers lose, they're in too. Boy, the Jaguars opened the door for so many teams if they could only beat the Colts.
Please do it.
Oh, my God. Because the Colts are standing in so many people's way because of their huge second and third months of the season. They were a red-hot team after falling 0-3 and 1-4. The Chargers win there or tie, they're in. That's a simple one. That's it. Win or tie on Sunday night, they're in. There you go. The Patriots have two clinching scenarios. Do you know the Patriots can clinch throughout the playoffs? They can clinch home field throughout the playoffs.
Still?
First things first, they can clinch the East if they beat the Dolphins and the Jets beat the Bills.
Right.
They can clinch home field throughout if the Bills, Chiefs, and Titans all lose and they beat the Dolphins. Again, the Titans play the Texans, the Chiefs are at Denver, and the Bills are home against the Jets. So we're saying there's a dumb and dumber chance for New England to clinch throughout the entire playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we mentioned this before. If they win and the Colts lose and the Chargers and Raiders do not end in a tie on Sunday night, that is the way that Big Ben plays one more game. They got to beat the Ravens, look up at the scoreboard and see the Jaguars beating the Colts, and then root for a non-tie on Sunday night. If that happens, they're in. And then the Tennessee Titans, as I mentioned, what a remarkable season for them. Without Derrick Henry, they beat the Texans. And they get home field throughout. An extra week for Derrick Henry to get well enough to come back and play a divisional playoff game as their first game. That's your AFC playoff clinching scenarios. Let's go to the NFC right now. Let's go to the NFC. The Arizona Cardinals, if they beat the Seahawks and the Rams lose at home to the 49ers, they clinch the West. They're already in the playoffs, as we know. So that's the way the Cardinals beat the odds and win the NFC West after leading that division for much of the year. The Rams, opposite, they just beat the Niners or tie the Niners, they win the West. And if the Cardinals lose or tie against Seattle, that gives the division to the Rams. And the Rams have an opportunity to start the playoffs where they hope to end it, in SoFi Stadium. The New Orleans Saints, how can Taysom Hill lead the Saints to the playoffs? They have to win in Atlanta and hope the 49ers lose to the Rams. That's possible, don't you think?
I think so.
NFC is much easier. I mean, there's only one team sniffing it in the NFC. And the 49ers, they make the playoffs by beating or tying the Rams. or the Saints lose in Atlanta, which is entirely possible too, because you know Atlanta would love to end their season by ending the Saints season at the same time. We're both home for the playoffs. I spit my last breath at thee, a little Wrath of Khan. That's your playoff clinching scenarios for week 18. And I take these papers and I keep staring at them all week, so I know this cold by Saturday. We're doing a 90-minute pregame show.
On Saturday,
yeah,
that's right.
3 Eastern time for NFL Network.
Nice.
Yep, the gang will be all there.
That'll be fun.
Yep, absolutely. Leading you to kickoff of that Saturday doubleheader. I think Fowler and Herbstreit are doing Denver hosting Kansas City, and the Monday night crew will be doing the night game Dallas and Philadelphia.
Oof. I hope they love football.
Good one. It's a good one. And then we'll be doing game day morning for all 4 hours on NFL Network.
With no rehearsal.
Hey, everybody. We've been doing this segment on Tuesdays now. Thanks to my good friends at Courtyard by Marriott. We're back together. I can't quit them. They can't quit me.
Why would you want to?
We never know. Yeah. You turn around, I might be checking you in there one day soon. You never know.
Love that place.
Never know. A segment called Rise and Shine, in which we celebrate a player or team or unit on a team that has balled out on the road, which you can do at a Courtyard by Marriott yourself. And this week's Rise and Shine winners are the Arizona Cardinals defense.
Hey.
And I'll tell you what, man. Your Dallas Cowboys offense got spanked.
Did they, though?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, until late. And then Kyler Murray nailed it shut. But the Cardinals defense has been balling out all year long, whether it started in Tennessee where Chandler Jones had that 5-sack game, right, to start the season. Mm. And then their final road game of the season, a win in Dallas. They finished 8-1 on the road. Don't forget, NFC teams play 9 road games this year. Next year, it'll be the AFC has to do that. They held Dallas to just less than 50 yards rushing. No Zeke, no Pollard. Balling out right there. And then they hectored Dak all day. And that is what they needed, man, because Dallas was playing some offensive football coming off of the Washington football team win. And Arizona needed it without DeAndre Hopkins, without James Conner again, and Kyler and that offense being inconsistent for 3 straight weeks after beating the Bears in Chicago, one of their 8 road wins this year. The Arizona Cardinals defense, they rised and shined this week, and we give them the tip of the cap. And they've got the Seattle Seahawks coming off their best offensive performance of the year. That was an old Lang Syne, Russell Wilson in Seattle offensive performance. DK Metcalf, fantasy team owners, I hope you didn't bench him after a very disappointing year in your fantasy final, because he went off for 3 touchdowns and Russell had 4 and Rashad Penny was running his head off against the Lions. They're coming downhill for the Arizona Cardinals. And if Arizona doesn't win that game, then they'll be rising and shining in the playoffs on the road. Maybe here in Los Angeles to kick things off for the first week. Could be in Tampa or could be Dallas once again. And this segment is brought to you by my friends at Courtyard by Marriott. It's the official hotel of the NFL for 11 years and counting. Wow, it's been a long time. Courtyard by Marriott is proud to fuel your love of the game all season long. When you're on the road, no reason to miss out on watching the game. Meet us at the Beach Bistro Bar to cheer on your favorite team with good food and good company. If you're traveling to an out-of-town game with over 1,000 hotels across the U.S., Courtyard is the perfect place for you to stay near the stadium. And if you're a Marriott Bonvoy member, discover even more ways to earn and redeem points with access to exclusive NFL experiences at Courtyard by Marriott. Passion moves us forward. Where will yours take you?
You know, DK Metcalf has 12 touchdowns.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
I would not have believed that.
Quietest 12 touchdown year by a receiver ever.
Only thing quieter was Kyle Pitts' 1,000-yard receiving season.
Yes, I was shocked at that too.
Because anybody who drafted DK or Kyle Pitts in their fantasy league is like, really? Because my team didn't win the championship.
Right.
Anybody who had Jamar Chase?
He put up 50-plus points in most leagues.
By the way, in my poker fantasy final,
You played against Jamal.
I did not. Oh. I didn't make the playoffs. Somebody benched Jamar Chase in the final.
This week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he kicked out of the league?
He's not. He has Debo Samuel and AJ Brown in his spots.
That's what happened in my league.
And you're going against the Chiefs.
And no flex?
Who was his flex? There is a flex. But his flex was somebody pretty good. I mean, his team was amazing all year long.
Bo.
I'll call out Matt Levin.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll call him out.
Would he have won, obviously?
Of course he would have. We have a 5-point bonus at 100 and 200 yards.
Oh,
yeah. He'd have won easily.
Yeah, that same thing in my league. Guy put Jamar on the bench. He started A.B., Tyreek, and Debo.
Mm-hmm. Zeke was his flex. Damian Harris and Mixon were his running backs. I mean, how is he going to?
Dang.
I mean, somebody had to be benched. You going to bench AJ Brown coming off of that game?
Probably not.
How about Debo? You don't bench him in a million years.
No, he never gets benched. I mean, I guess I get it.
So Chase was the odd man out. 49.6 fantasy points.
He'll think about that the rest of his life.
He had 54 points in my league.
Yeah.
On the rest of his life,
he'll think about that.
On the bench.
I'm sorry, Matty Mel.
And I'll say,
call him out.
I'll say the guy in my league.
I'm sure there are people listening saying I did the same thing or whatever.
Rich, I'll say the guy in my league is a guy that you know him. Let's just put it that way.
This Ashton?
I will name drop that one.
Okay. Yes. Right?
Ashton benched Jamar in the finals?
Ashton Kutcher benched Jamar Chase in the finals. So my buddy Matt.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the finals because he lost. It was the consolation.
Okay.
Game. So.
Oh.
Is there hard-earned American $2.5 million on this?
Not $2.5 million.
I mean,
that type of money.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Punk dollars.
Punk dollars.
First season of Punk dollars.
Yeah, season one. Punk dollars.
Okay. So.
But it wasn't the championship. He lost.
My buddy Matt Levin and Ashton Kutcher have something in common that they benched Jamar Chase.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we need a support group.
But at least I got
people.
I know, dude. I mean, could you imagine? Wow. Jamar Chase's performance is the greatest
fantasy wide receiver
performance in the final ever. Correct?
Ever.
That's the new benchmark.
Ever. He had more receiving yards than Patrick Mahomes had passing yards in the game.
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
That's ridiculous.
All right, let's take a break. Kurt Warner's going to call in. He called last night's game with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. And just want to know what he sees about Baker, man. That's what I'm really more interested in. And then, of course, watching a guy who beat him in the Super Bowl go out into the sunset like that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204 Rich. Love this guy. Enjoyed his call last night. And I'm not just saying that because I'm held captive to it, listening to the broadcast. Because I do the pregame and halftime of Monday Night Football and Westwood One. We just wrapped up the season finale for the regular season on that. We'll be doing the playoff game in a couple of Mondays now. And he does the game with Kevin Harlan. And, of course, he's one of my best friends. I consider him such. As I sit right down the row from him on NFL game day morning, he's Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. How are you doing, Kurt?
I am doing really well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Kirk, do you consider Rich one of your best friends? Because that's always an interesting thing. Like, Rich considers you a best friend, but are you his best friend?
Of course I do. You know, we talk every Monday. We're down, you know, like you said, down the row from each other. Okay. I mean, yeah, he came to the premiere.
I did come to the premiere.
You went to the premiere.
All those check marks.
Yeah, okay, okay. I was there for him.
All right.
Were you there for him?
Well, I didn't get invited.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess you're not one of his best friends. You know? No, I was just recounting. I was just recounting about how we were there that opening night, and you're telling the Matrix, you know, you're stiff-arming the Matrix right now in the box office, Kurt. This is pretty cool.
You know, it's been good. It's been fun. And as you know, movies kind of like this is about word of mouth as much as anything. People see it and people enjoy it, and you know, they tell their friend and they tell their friend, and that's really what's happened, is that everybody that's gone and seen it has really, really enjoyed the movie. As you know, a little bit different than maybe what you expect when you go in, but football fans, non-football fans, and that to me was the true test, is when you have people that are non-football fans, or, you know, you have people tweet you, yeah, I got drugged to the movie by my husband or my friend or whatever. And then they came out of the thing loving the movie. That's when you know you've got a good movie, that it touches everybody, and especially people that are going when they don't really want to go. They don't think they're going to enjoy it. Then they come out of the theater enjoying it.
Yeah, you've come a long way since those $100 touchdown bonuses with the Barnstormers, right? You know,
a long way. But, you know, incentive bonuses are always good, no matter where you're at in life.
Pretty much. Absolutely. All right, so let's just jump into it. What do you make of Baker Mayfield right now, after this season that does appear to be over? He's already talking about, you know, how banged up he is, surgery's coming, and he may not play the final game. What do you see when you see Baker Mayfield?
Well, I mean, I think you see a guy that has all kinds of potential, and you see a guy that has shown you moments of, you know, saying, hey, I can be elite at this level. But you see a guy that's been majorly inconsistent with all of those things. I believe Cleveland says, hey, we've got the leader that we want off the field, a guy that, you know, is going to be the same guy, a tough guy, a guy that can, he's going to stand in there, and you just talked about all the things that he's been through this year. He's going to be there, and he's going to show up, and he's going to battle and lead his team, and he's not going to shy away from the criticism, all the stuff that you want from your franchise guy off the field. The question becomes, can you give us that same sort of consistency on the field? And, you know, you got to figure out put your finger on what exactly is it. When you see those moments, there's a couple of them last night where he just made some big-time throws where you're just like, man, a guy in your face, and it's a second-level throw, and you see all the ability, and you go, man, why can't we get that every single time, every game? You know, you got to ask yourself with the team that he's got. I look at Baker Mayfield and I say to myself, Baker Mayfield, if he's going to be that next level in the NFL, he's going to have to be in an offense where he can make difference-making throws with his arm, but probably not asked to make 40 throws with his arm, because the consistency hasn't been there, you know, accuracy-wise and decision-making to do that. But he can make those big-time throws. And so I look at a guy like Carson Wentz and where he's at this year, and you see it. You know, a couple Sundays ago on Christmas when we called that game, I mean, he made a throw that, I mean, I still, when I think back to it, I'm like, man, I can't even believe he took the opportunity to throw it. And not only that, he made the throw, and you go, Baker's got that in him. But I don't know if he can be, you know, an Aaron Rodgers-type guy, a Tom Brady-type guy that – you know, that you can lean on in every given moment. And you also got to look at the team that they've got. I was talking about a little bit last night, and you say to yourself, okay, who's the guy that we have that we can count on when we're throwing the football, you know, to give us those big plays, to consistently make the catch or get open and make the game easier for your quarterback? And right now I don't believe they have that guy on offense either. And so we're going to throw it all on Baker. But I don't know if they have the pieces, whether Baker's the right guy or they have the pieces around him, to say that they can be a throw-first type football team anywhere in the near future.
Well, I mean, Odell was supposed to be that guy, right? That's who that guy was supposed to be, and the fact that he's not there and now making fingertip catches on fourth down, leading to touchdown game-winning catches, for the Rams in the very week in which we just saw the Browns be eliminated from play before they even took the field last night, makes you just wonder, is it the quarterback? And I've been the one who's been pounding this very table right here from the show and caping for Baker. And the time, unfortunately, of saying he could be the guy is kind of up, because there's 1 year to go, and you got to sit here and say first overall pick quarterbacks who get a second contract, that usually starts with a high three or a low four in terms of an annual salary. So what do you do if you're Cleveland making this evaluation right now, Kurt, if you were that guy?
Yeah, the bottom line is you're not making that decision right now. And if you have to, you can't give him that contract. You know, he hasn't shown that he can be the guy to the point where you can, you know, like you said, the 30s or the 40s, and give him that sort of contract, especially when I look at this team and I say you need a lot more on this team to compete for a championship. So you got to spend that money in other places. And so, yeah, can they hold out this entire next year as they've got that fifth-year option and see if he – you know, if he becomes that guy and becomes more consistent and then make that decision? Or is this kind of one of those things like, we're going to play out this fifth year and maybe Baker will want to go somewhere else and you know, we won't have the opportunity to do that. But I don't think you can make that decision until you see one full consistent gear from him at the quarterback spot. And I say all that looking from a big picture. Let's also remember this is Cleveland. And he's done some things in these few years and taken with the playoffs last year that quarterbacks haven't done in Cleveland for a long, long, long time. So he has shown us that he can be better than a lot of guys they had. But that becomes the question that a lot of these teams face is that good enough for us to pay that kind of money to a guy that's better than what we've had, but not a guy we feel that will win us a championship right now?
Would you give that money, Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show, would you give that money to Lamar? The Ravens have yet to do that. It looks like he can't finish the season. And I know he's an MVP guy, and he had a MVP first half of the season. But what do you think of his evaluation? Because Allen's gotten it, and we know Darnold's not going to get it. And obviously Josh Rosen needs to find a spot where he can prove whatever he can. What do you think?
I believe Lamar has shown us a level of consistency that, yes, you can warrant that big contract for Lamar. Obviously, the MVP, they've won a lot of football games when he's in there. They're a playoff team year in and year out. And so that, to me, says, yes, you can call him a franchise quarterback. I still want to see more from him before I'm convinced he's a championship quarterback, that he can, you know, play in the pocket and play away from his strengths to a level that I believe can compete with the Mahomes and those types of guys. But, you know, he's still learning. We knew coming in that that was going to be the part of his game that he was going to have to learn and grow in. And he's done so much outside of that to say, while he's learning that, we will still win games. And so, yeah, I think Lamar is a guy that has proven that he will be that guy athletically, a guy that can carry you, the leader that, you know, everybody loves him and will battle for him in the organization, that it warrants getting that big contract in a different way than, you know, than what Baker's done.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going to give you a sports talk radio setup here, and you tell me if I'm right or you would believe this. Let's take everybody from the draft class of 2018 that we just mentioned, and then Kyler Murray and his draft class, right? And then 2020 and 2021, and let's even throw in what we're going to see this year, whoever that might be. The best quarterback to be coming out of all that winds up 5 years from now as Joe Burrow. Would you believe that, Kurt Warner?
100%. 100%. And, you know, I think there's going to be other guys, you know, Lamar and Kyler, we talked about that.
Josh Allen,
Allen, which do some really flashy things because athletically, you know, they're at another level than a Joe Burrow. But I've said this for years, and I'm sure I'm a little bit biased because I played the game this way, but I just believe if you can play the game mentally inside the pocket, that you will always be good at the position. If you can do that, now all the extra stuff, you got to give me some extra stuff to be a great quarterback, but if you can do that, you will always be good at the position. And Joe Burrow is doing that at an elite level. He's doing that, and he's got some elite players around him, which, as I know very well, that plays a huge part in being able to reach your potential if you're a pocket passer. You better have some guys around you that, you know, can accentuate what you do, and they have those guys. And I've seen it from the start, too. You know, when I watched him play last year, we talk a lot about Mac Jones and the way that he's played as a rookie. I saw all this stuff from Joe Burrow, and you saw the little bit extra and the leadership and the attitude and the toughness that he brings to the table. And so I would not be surprised one bit if we're saying – I mean, I think there's some people that are already talking about him in that category of being a top-five quarterback right now. We've seen the last couple of weeks, I mean, what, over 900 yards passing and big play after big play. And I really like Joe Burrow. So that statement would 100% in my mind could be an accurate statement a couple of years down the road.
He's so good, isn't he? I mean, he really,
very good.
Really is. And there's something about culture changing, too, that's not easy. I mean, you can't just snap your fingers. But having Ja'Marr Chase sitting there outside, inside, all over the place, that guy is amazing. I mean, he's run away from the Ravens defense. He's run away from the Chiefs defense. How deep do you think the Bengals can go this year, right now, Kurt? What do you think?
First of all, you always have to ask yourself, can they beat anybody? Yes, I think they can beat anybody. I mean, they showed they can beat the Chiefs. I believe they've got enough talent and enough explosiveness that they could beat anybody. Where they've struggled this year is when they haven't been able to generate the big plays. They haven't quite been consistent enough, especially in the front areas, you know, offensive line, defensive line, to be able to work the football and score points and stay up with people in those situations. So that, to me, is going to be the question come playoff time. You know, can they live in the big play world? And if they can, because they've got all those playmakers around them, yeah, I think they can make a run and they can beat anybody in the playoffs. But, you know, I'm not sitting here saying they're one of my favorites to go to the Super Bowl, because I have seen a number of games where they've really struggled in those areas and haven't put it all completely together yet. So, good team, beat everybody. Not quite sure they're a championship team at this point.
All right, so we're about 10 days away from that mulligan that we get on game day morning that we were afforded on Thanksgiving Day of our preseason Super Bowl picks. Who did you choose again? I don't recall. And that's not a joke.
I actually picked Buffalo and actually the Cardinals at that. I think that's what I finished up with.
And you stuck with that? You stuck with that at Thanksgiving?
No, I think that's what I switched to at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
The last time we went to it.
All right. So what are you thinking 10 days from now?
Yeah, 10 days from now. Right now, I'm going to give the Chiefs the advantage in the AFC.
You still are.
If I've got to pick somebody, just believe that they're going to be the most consistent. They're going to be a team that can beat you on both sides. And then they got that guy at quarterback that's been there and done that. I'm going to go there in the AFC side, even though the Titans at home, they get King Henry back. That's going to be a fun matchup because I like the way they're playing. You know, the Bills and the Bengals we talked about on the show both have beaten the Chiefs. So I still think it's wide open, but I'll give the edge there to the Chiefs. And on the other side, I would go Green Bay. I can't remember when we did our redos if anybody picked Green Bay on the NFC side. But they've been the most consistent team. They've had the most consistent quarterback. And they get home field advantage. And so those are three things to me that it's what the playoffs are all about is, you know, can you win different ways? Your quarterback, do you know what you're going to get? And have you shown that you can do it week in and week out? And the Packers have. And so right now, you know, as wide open as both conferences are, I look at this and say, I think the two best teams at this point in time are the Chiefs and the Packers.
And the thing that's really crazy, Kurt, is that there's obviously one guy that's standing in the way of Green Bay. And, you know, I'm talking to you a night after you're calling a game that's the final game at home of a guy who you played in a Super Bowl against, right? Like Big Ben's coming now. He's about to go. You're a Hall of Famer now with a movie in theaters near you about you and Brenda and your whole family's life. And the guy that's standing in the way is a guy who prevented you from winning your second Super Bowl, and he's now 44 years old, and we can't discount him. It's insane. It really is nuts every single time you try to put Tom Brady in perspective. So where do you stand on all that? And I know, again, they're banged up. Antonio Brown, I don't think that's going to leave a lingering mark on them like it did, say, the Raiders when he imploded there. Or I mean, Brady's been through losing Brown before in New England. So I don't know. What do you make of the Bucs right now and everything going on there, Kirk?
I think they're still dangerous. I think their defense has the capabilities of taking over. You know, watch that game against the Jets last week with Brady, and there was a couple throws in that game that I had to go back and rewind again and just kind of go, dang, really? He made those throws, you know, at this age? And so, you know, Godwin's going to hurt. He's a difference maker because he does different things. But get Mike Evans back, the tight ends, and the way that they can play. Ronald Jones, even if, you know, playoff Lenny isn't able to be 100%, I like Ronald Jones. I think he's a really, really good back and should have played more all year long. And then they've got some young receivers that are coming into their own that, you know, that can be some difference makers on the outside. So, yeah, I will not discount them one bit in the big moment with that guy behind center and with the team that they have. I mean, they've got a lot of really good pieces on that team that I believe can compete with anybody. And so, yeah, they've been, you know, knocked down a little bit the last couple weeks. But, yeah, I mean, I know everybody in the NFC, you can look at a lot of different teams. You're definitely going to know where number 12 is and how they're playing and whether you've got to play them in the playoffs or not, because, yeah, they're still right up there in my opinion.
Kurt, you're the best. You know, look, everyone knows you're pure in terms of your intensity, in terms of your commitment, in terms of everything. And in case they've forgotten about it, I'm not talking about the movie in theaters near you. I'm talking about the fact that you wore that shiny jacket again last night. You only know one speed. You know what I mean, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right. You gotta bring it. You gotta always bring it, no matter what the situation. And no matter what people say on Twitter, you bring it, and I'll be there to bring it. So anytime I got a cold weather city that I'm going to, you may just see the shiny silver jacket.
Now, is that another way of saying Brenda picked this for you, or like what's the history? What's the history?
Does that sound anything like Brenda picked that for me?
I don't know, Kurt. It's just, you know, all I know is if I wore something on the air that trended, and it wasn't Susie supported the second time around, that thing would be gone. I mean, that thing would be history. No, that thing would be the center of the earth right now.
Definitely, you know. Definitely Brenda supported.
Okay.
Yes, I definitely got the stamp of approval from Brenda.
Uh-huh.
And she's all for it. Yes.
Okay. All right. So what did you say, Chris?
So you picked it out. You're taking ownership of this decision.
Well, yeah, you know.
He's the American underdog, Chris. Yes, fighting against odds.
Group effort in the Warner household.
Yes, you're gonna, see the movie.
You're going to rally behind this jacket, and you can win games
That's
with
right.
that jacket.
We're going to rally around the jacket. Thanks for the call, Kurt. I appreciate it.
You bet, buddy. All right, we'll talk to you.
See you Sunday. See you Saturday. Let's get Kurt Warner, everybody.
Kurt, thanks again.
You're going to rally around the jacket. How's it going, Chris?
Yeah, thank you.
By the way, Dennis Quaid does a great version of that in the film.
That whole scene, yes. The press conference.
We're going to rally around Kurt Warner.
I mean, I never forget that.
Dude, you got to see it. Movie is just, it's so great to see it because you know the story.
Oh, yeah. We lived it.
Right.
Lived it.
And you know the story, and then you see it, and you're like, oh, my God, that actually happened. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
He overcame all that. And Brenda, too. Yep. His wife, too.
That's great.
Oh, my God. And then there's Dennis Quaid. There's Dick Vermeil. What else do you need to know? What else do you need to know?
Dennis Quaid in.
As Dick Vermeil.
I wonder if Kurt's aware of all the memes and stuff that jacket.
Oh, he is.
That's the question I would have. That's what I was hoping you were going to get into.
And it's definitely, as I said, Brenda supported and clearly purchased.
And you know, the
like, hey, Kurt, you need something for, you know,
I got
you need
it.
Something for the road. I'll get it. So I'll get you something. Picks it out. And then it trends. And he wears it again because it is wife chosen and supported. Because my hat, fedora in Chicago, was not wife purchased and definitely not wife supported. And that is why that fedora that Dion helped purchase with me, for me, in Chicago, was one and done, never to be seen from again.
Also, functionally, I got to imagine that jacket is so warm.
Oh, by the way, it looks
great.
And the thing about when his jacket was trending, you know, Twitter can go one of two ways, either a bad way or a good way. And it was, everyone was having so much fun with it that it became like a pleasant. It wasn't like people crapping on Kurt. It was just like, everyone had fun with the jacket, and it wasn't like a horrible place to be.
Well, and everyone needs to know this, too, about the television world. Let me just give you a little glimpse here. One of the toughest things to do as an on-air reporter, host, or what have you, certainly a reporter in the field, is that when the light isn't natural enough to, you know, be television worthy, or the light needs some sort of support, there are these reflector shields that are held by somebody beside the camera that they bounce natural light off of to fill in on your face or your body.
They call it the bounce.
And when you look up and have that shined at you, it's blinding. Mm-hmm. Like you can, you can't look up until the last second, and then you got to fight through the 20, 30 seconds you're on camera because your eyes will water up. I think Kurt's wearing the jacket because that's its own bounce.
Multifunctional.
It's his own bounce. You don't need the bounce because it's bouncing. And it's bouncing back at us. And it's really disturbing.
Take that.
That's a great jacket.
But I'll tell you what.
Puffy and Mace called the jacket back.
He's still doing it. And he'll be on the road. He'll be on the road doing some more Westwood One playoff games. And if he goes to Green Bay, guess what's coming?
The jacket.
Hell yeah.
Does he get the hat to match?
I know we're going to get a good fedora, but Chicago's not making the playoffs, bro.
Did that jacket come with a bowl of soup? Or?
Nice. You, nicely done. All right. We'll take a break. Phone calls when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show on this Tuesday.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So we just found out that your ping pong table you got from The Price is Right.
Still sitting in my crib, right in the doorway.
But it's so heavy that, what is it? Like, seriously, it's not like a regular ping pong table where you could just throw it in the back of your car and that's the end of it?
I never knew a ping pong table was this heavy. Wow. Until, I mean, these two delivery guys, one guy was probably 6'5", about, he might have been three bills, small change. The other guy was about 6'4", like 290. They were huge. And they were sweating hard when that thing was out.
The ping pong table is like a pool table. It has that thick, it's that.
Plus, it's a Price is Right. This isn't a jabroni pool table. This is a Price is Right table. You know, when you become the number one thing that happened in 2021, when you're the daytime demo king, they're not just going to give you some jabron piece of plywood.
The host of the Price is Right last night on Twitter, diehard Browns fan Drew Carey,
an
unmentionable tweet that we cannot show or talk about in direction of the Steelers fans and what they can actually imbibe on and from who and a certain body part.
I think I can put it this way.
Let me just say, like, if there was a line,
he went
close and over.
Oh,
yes, he did. It was a double over. His tweet in the direction of Steeler fans. Like, literally, if we put it up, we'd have to blur out most of it. And it made Bob Barker's line from Happy Gilmore seem like it's a G-rated movie.
He essentially told Steeler fans to act as if they were children and they were babies, infants, they were getting their milk from the source.
Oh, right. Yes.
Geez. Yes. That essentially, that's what he said.
Did you not see it? I thought I texted it.
No, I saw it, but his way of describing it, well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Would you say I'm accurate as to, with the description?
No, that's exactly how it went. I mean, he's fired up about his team.
Yeah, and he was not pleased about the Steelers. I mean, what are you going to do? The Browns
stunk.
I mean, Najee Harris ran for almost 200 yards last night.
Yeah.
You see, the Mannings were telling him to get down so that Big Ben could get his kneeling moment.
Peyton wanted them to use all their time.
I know.
At the end.
Well, I mean, because he's taking a point of view of he knows what it's like to say goodbye to a fan base.
But you know? You're not. No one's running out of bounds at that point. Like
all you had to do is just take a knee, not score, give the ball to Ben, who would then kneel twice, and then Tomlin would burn a timeout, and then Ben could walk around and say goodbye.
That's a lot, Rich. Just score the touchdown, man.
Wind up getting his knee down moment anyway. And Tomlin said after the game he attempted after the kneel down. There were 6 seconds to go, but everyone was just running on the field. He tried to call that timeout.
I think Eli couldn't was saying it. That. Yeah,
couldn't get it done. So
it was still a great moment for him.
That moment where he was walking down the tunnel. ESPN got that shot of him holding hands with his wife and children. Yeah. Walking down the tunnel, just the five of them, which is amazing because, you know.
Well, I think Bert Lautner, their PR guy.
Said leave him alone.
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the last guys with him. And that it was just, like you said, a great shot.
Yeah.
He reached back
there
for his youngest
right
kid.
Look at that, man.
That's cool.
Look at that. It's a shot forever.
Yeah. Props to whoever got
that. Should hang up
That's
on their.
That's a shot forever.
That should be in their home.
That is the shot forever.
That's like the Rivera.
And you know, he left his helmet on. I don't think he realized his helmet was on the entire time. When he was interviewed by Lisa Salters, he kept his helmet on. Yeah.
I think he was getting a little choked up.
Of course,
and probably
he
didn't.
But
want.
I just think it was an out of body experience for him.
Yeah.
You know, take a victory lap around the stadium last night, like Cal Ripken after he broke Lou Gehrig's record. Remember that when he took that victory lap around Camden Yards? You know.
Yeah, it was great to see the Steeler fans because Steeler fans can be tough, right? And it's great to see them show him that type of love because the thing that made him Big Ben, you know, the fact that he could take those hits and he didn't go down. And those are the reasons why his career is coming to an end. So I was glad that the people recognized that despite how he may have been playing and was like.
Yeah, I guess in the 20 something years that I've done NFL Network, no quarterback has ever had the MO like Ben. Where the play begins after he's hit.
Yeah.
Normally, for a quarterback, the play ends when he's hit.
Oh, yeah.
But for Ben's career, the play began once he was hit. And I remember, you know, Thursday night game one time, he had a high ankle sprain, and Marshall's like, he'll be back second half. And we're like, what are you talking about, high ankle sprain? He goes, he'll be back. And he ran right out of the tunnel.
Yeah, he
did all that. And you know, there's a
hit.
You know, he's he had the send off that a lot of all time greats want to have in front of the home fans. I want to thank Kurt Warner and also my colleagues from NBC Sports and Peter King and also Brandon Staley of the Chargers. We'll see you on Wednesday.